Like that team's been around for 150 years. I'd love to know how many times they've erased a deficit in the middle innings down 7 runs to go up 11 to 10. They're on the verge of sweeping the Pirates.
How much do you think this ticks off a guy like Skeens? Be seriously for a second. The fact that you leave the game, you think you've got
you might not have pitched great,
but you've got a pretty easy rocking chair win.
It's a circus here right now, man. And this is his first exposure to the major leagues. I know it's all he knows, but it can't sit well with him. We'll get back to this game. We'll see how Beeks does, and then we'll give you the bottom of the ninth when we get there. If the Pirates are still, you know, unless the Cubs
unless
open
it's 16
it up here.
To 10.
Breaking news on the football front in the last few minutes. The apple of Malzi's eye, Terrace Marshall, who's a former second-round pick wide receiver who was stuck in Carolina, signed by the 49ers. I think to their active roster. This is not a practice squad move. He's just onto the team.
Might have to grab him in fantasy football.
He's now a 49er. And so on one hand, I think to myself, okay, they miss out on a guy who has considerable upside and potential, and their wide receiver room has that in very short supply, especially if Roman Wilson is hobbling and is not really ready to contribute to this team. The other part of me wonders, is this the wide receiver the 49ers needed
to finally deal Brandon Ayuk?
Yes.
Is this the Pony, I'll ask you, is this the 49er the wide receiver the 49ers needed to finally deal Brandon Ayuk? Could just be that. What's Pearsall's injury status?
Can you ask it one more time?
Pony, is this the wide receiver the 49ers finally needed to trade Brandon Ayuk?
Like sands through the hourglass, so were the Ayuks of our lives.
I hate you so much. I knew it was coming. I indulged you. I hate. Jalen Beeks coming in. This is just wonderful.
Oh, don't worry, Malzi. I know what's coming.
And I'm on MLB.com, and I just got the notification that said in-play runs a single, so Hap continues to murder his hometown
Hap,
team.
Hap, by the way, was going to be the actual, not the bum for the Cubs here, but he was tagged out on a very, heads-down play.
Yep.
That
double
almost,
play.
That put, like, a good inning for the Cubs on ice and got the Pirates out
of it. That was in the eighth. That was when Chapman was lighting himself on fire.
That was in the eighth about 3 hours ago, it feels like.
This game started at 12:30 with the pitch clock, and it's not going to end before 4:30. Remember when our boss was in the back saying, oh, the Pirates are going to make short work of the Cubs today. That'll be good for you guys.
On the plus side,
it was not good for us guys.
On the plus side, a single here sharply hit. O'Neill Cruz got it up, got it in very quickly. No funny business there. He's been fine in
I got to be honest
today.
With you. I'll save it until a little bit later.
Just play the Ayuk thing one more time. Put me in a better mood. I just said I hated it, but you know what?
Black sands through the hourglass. So were the Ayuks of our lives.
Okay. I mean, do you really think Terrace Marshall's the guy that puts them over the top? I said I wanted the Steelers to go after him, but it is still sort of a lottery ticket. It's one of those deals, like, you always would say this about Belichick and the Patriots. When they would cut a guy loose, you wonder if they saw something like, okay, it's done. That guy's done. By the same token, sometimes when he would pick up a guy, you'd think he must know something, especially a defender.
And the 49ers know no offense.
They know wide receivers, too, I think.
I think it's a little bit odd. I think it's a little strange that we don't have a practice squad update from the Steelers. So, like, are they trying to coax somebody, going back to what Florio said, are they trying to coax like a Kadarius Toney onto their practice squad? Because I agree with what Mike said, that if Andy Reid can't get anything out of the guy, why would you expect anyone to be able to get anything out of him? But Mike Tomlin, I think, looks at his work with Antonio Brown as a massive success.
Okay, but here's
like, I got through to this guy.
Sure, big difference. That's the attitude portion of Kadarius Toney. Mike Tomlin didn't get through to a guy in Antonio Brown who had massive issues catching the football. He is one of the best wide receivers ever, literally, who also happened to have a screwball bad attitude. Kadarius Toney, not a great attitude, also doesn't catch the ball. Come on.
Ugh. But if he's on the practice squad, Malzi, you know, you're just...
I know, I'm morbid. It's like watching a car wreck right now.
Another run for the Cubs, 13-10.
Again, though, very, very nimble and very natural movements by O'Neal Cruz in center field.
Would you say that it's graceful, like Greg Brown described it yesterday?
Gazelle-like, even. And one little note, I don't know if anyone knew this. He tried to throw out a guy at home early. He got charged with an error. It should have been on Grandal. I didn't know if they changed this or not.
We watched that play together.
No, but like I'm saying the listeners.
Oh.
He threw the ball home on the play 103.3 miles an hour, the second hardest throw from the outfield in the entire major leagues this year. Colton Cowser, the only harder throw. And
I think it came in at 103. So he
I literally just said 103.3.
No, I got distracted by something.
Donnie, come. You want to get the tape here? Get the tape of me saying 103.3.
I heard you just say it.
I believe you. I'm sorry. When Livy Dunn is tweeting about how the Pirates are a complete...
She's tweeting?
Yes.
Oh, has anyone checked on Bechtold?
4 minutes. He already retweeted it. She tweeted...
My God, it's continuing.
14:10. She tweeted out a video of Skeens just saying, you got to be kidding me, and shaking his head. So that's where we're at. I'll tell you right now, this seems a little bit of a... We're in a little bit of a purgatory where I think fans are rubbernecking and possibly listening to the end of this game.
Yeah.
Because they can't believe how bad it's gotten.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something right now. The second that baby ends...
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be able to just kick up our feet and do a pretty easy show here. And Donnie's got the same thing from 7 to 10:35 tonight, boy.
Beaks sucks.
I mean, tonight is just going to be...
This Beaks is terrible. Who did they trade for him? Luis Peralta? Isn't the guy they traded for Beaks already in the major leagues?
For Milwaukee?
The guy... No, no, no.
Oh, no, for Colorado? I don't know. That's a good question. Freddy Peralta's his brother.
I think they traded Luis Peralta, right? Yeah. I think he's already appearing in major league games.
That would be insane because he was down in single A when that trade happened, but he had great numbers. And there you go, a catcher O'Neal Cruz that puts that inning out of our misery. All right, we'll come back with the bottom of the ninth, and then we'll get to your calls after that. Programming note, tomorrow at 2:35, Pat Narduzzi is going to join us to tee up the pit season. Pat makes a point to come on with us before the start of every pit season. And so I have some college football. I feel a college football buzz. I'm
trying to get really into it, but I'm trying to stay into it because every year I get a little buzz and I'm like, I am going to try to just sit and devour every game I can watch. Like I'm just going to be all over the place.
How long does that usually last?
I get like 2-3 weeks in, and then it just becomes very difficult. It is an overwhelming sport to try to take in its full scope.
Well, it's hard, too, because we've got Sundays devoted to Steelers, so it's like, now that I'm married and have a kid, can I really veg out for 48 hours?
And you're not even in my boat. I like to golf. Golf is a time-consuming habit.
Oh, yes, it is. And it's an expensive one, unless you're Starkey and you get invited onto nice courses by everyone for free. Although you played Oakmont twice, so what am I talking about here? You get the same perks and benefits. Donnie, tonight from 7 to 10:35, rename that show. Get that gun out. It's fish in a barrel season for you.
Pew,
all you do
pew,
is say,
pew, pew.
I've heard Donnie do these shows before. You got to play the hits. He just goes, all right, open up the phone lines, 412-928-9370. I'm not even going to really give you an opening. I'm going to talk for 2 minutes, then we're going right to those phones. And you know what? I can't blame him. On a night like this, they blew a 10-3 lead, and they're not even the final score is not even going to be close.
When Bednar came in, you and I said, I'll say this on the air because I said it off the air. I said, I asked you, what are the chances he blows this game? You said about 50-50.
Touchdown, 2-point conversion, and field goal for Chicago to go up 14-10.
Best tweet, somebody quote tweeted the Livy Dunn, you got to be kidding me, with just, Livy is officially a Pirates fan. She is now.
Swing and a miss. Cubs win 14-10. In a historic game that goes the Cubs' way.
Joe Block.
God, you got the other one? You got the Betancourt one, Donnie? I want to hear it if you've got our beautiful foreshadowing in.
We have it. I got it here, Don.
And they're going to walk Crow Armstrong to face Christian Betancourt, who has a career-high 5 RBIs today, doubled last inning, homered the inning before that.
That's right.
It's a call from Major League. It's now, Bob Uecker in Major League.
To stick up for Shelton a little bit, he was walking a guy who was 4-for-4 in the game, but still, I mean, come on, dude.
Isn't it kind of the problem that their 8-9 guys were 4-for-4 and had a career-high 5 RBIs? Isn't that Well, the real problem here, of course, is not even that. It's not even Shelton. You know what the real problem is? David Bednar can't be allowed to pitch anymore. David Bednar, in the month of August thus far, 13 earned runs in 10 and two-thirds innings. 13. He has allowed a run, Pony. He has appeared in 10 games, now 11 games. He has allowed runs in over half of those games. In 7 of 11 games, he's allowed runs.
And today's the rare day where you can't say, well, you should have used Chapman, because Chapman had to come in to the 8th inning. And they were up 5 at the time, so still you're thinking, Pirates in great shape. Chapman came in, gave up 3 in the 8th inning, had to be relieved. Santana came in and got a fluky double play that got him out of that jam. It was 10-3 in the 7th. It was 10-5 in the 8th. They were up 10-5. After Horner struck out to start the 8th inning. So nobody was on base. They needed 5 more outs. And they were up 5 runs.
The Cubs
scored 9 more. With 5. They had 5 outs left. They scored 9 runs.
Pony, they had...
Against your $10.5 million setup man and your 2-time All-Star closer.
Pony, they had 9 runs with 1 out left to them and scored 5 more times.
That is why... Livy Dunn is tweeting things like, you gotta be kidding me.
This is why we lift all them weights, though. If I'm gonna look at one silver lining, I could be just a miserable Pirates fan wallowing in this, but Pony and I and Donnie, we are lucky enough to do this for a living. Shared misery. We get to have kind of a therapy session and let you guys vent, and there is something to be said for that.
I'm trying to find the Pompeiani tweet that made me laugh that he's put out there like 2 minutes ago on this, but then Bob sent out another flurry of tweets, so it's hard to find it. Oh, he goes, it's beyond painful to watch.
You think? Bednar's ERA right now checking in at a healthy 6.32 this season. 6.32.
412-928-9370. Let's get to people here that want to talk about what they either just watched in person as they drive home. Maybe you drove home from this game 2 hours ago and thought it was an easy Pirates win and said, well, Skeens is done after 5. I'll go home. They're up a touchdown. Well, the Cubs came back, scored a touchdown, got a 2-point conversion, added a field goal to boot, and actually won the game by 4. A game they trailed by 7, they won by 4. 412-928-9370.
The Pirates gave up 41 runs in 3 games.
Oh, my God.
18, 9, and 14.
Let's start with Tom is going to lead us off here. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Terrible.
Wow, I know. What a nightmare. It's just a continuing nightmare. I had called and talked to you guys a while back about Skeens and how long before he gets totally frustrated. I mean, realistically, this guy could be 17-0 with any kind of run support or bullpen, and that's not stretching it. I mean, he really could be 17-0. I told you guys originally, I thought after the third or fourth year he'd won out. I'm dropping it down to 2. I'm saying next year he's going to say, I want out of here. I've had enough of money.
Thank you, Tom. You're trying to get my attention. Mulsey, what happened?
We have at least, I know it's not a Pirates-related tweet, but we have a Jerry Dulac update on Seumalo.
Okay.
Jerry, Seumalo expected to miss about a month, which means injury is non-surgical.
So it's like Watt. He just hopes he can rehab the pec and come back and play. But when we saw Watt come back from the pec, not the same guy. All right, so we're going to see, according to Jeff, Spencer Anderson at left guard.
That would be about 2 games, by the way. A month, by the way, gets you, what, 2, week 1, September 8th, September 15th. Probably 3 games he misses.
So for the first 3 games, your left side could be Dan Moore and Spencer Anderson.
Buddy, you want to talk about road grading, baby.
I would be lying if I said I don't think about exactly what Tom said about Paul Skeens, that he's been indoctrinated to what we all know and unfortunately have had to wear our cross to bear, Pirates baseball, and loving this team and caring about this team and always getting let down. He is getting the full-on experience of that. Hey, we're a buyer at the deadline. We got a shot here. Only to have one of the worst Augusts in recent team history. And I have to think that it does on some level, he has to think, man, this is a pretty screwed up situation here.
Here's what it is for me. You get guys who come in and feel like I can change the culture because I am really good, right?
Yep.
What has to be extremely demoralizing for him is he has more or less held up his end of the bargain and then some. His ERA, even after today, even after he's had a couple of starts that I would term less than his usual, less than what he showed, it's 2.23. He would still be winning the ERA title as a if he had qualifying innings. So what I mean by that being extra demoralizing is he's doing his part, and then he is just watching as every factor that could conspire against him, everybody around him, continues to show their ass on a regular basis. How could that not be a
bummer? How do you think O'Neill Cruz felt when they said, here's one day of practice, now go out and play center field, and as you pointed out, the shortstop doesn't make a play that could have ended the game and prevented the Pirates from this embarrassing loss in the first place? You think that was easy for him? Watching in center field?
He's their most
talented
player.
A guy not make a diving play?
He's the most talented player. I mean, honestly, Reynolds got paid, but does it feel good to be him? He's the actual best producer on the team right now, and it's just, yeah, I got my money. I got my nine-figure contract, but geez, this again?
Yeah, I'm going to spend my entire career, and I'm never going to even sniff the postseason.
They have played now 132 games. There are 30 games left. What was their record last year? 76-86?
Yep.
They need to go 14-16 to match last year. They need to go 15-15 to beat last year. I have zero belief that they will do either one of those things.
Bases loaded, 0-1. Bethancourt hits it on the ground, sharply past Kiner Falefa, and the Cubs will take the lead. Seven-run lead gone as Bethancourt has driven in seven runs today for the Cubs. They bypass Crow Armstrong to get to Bethancourt, and he makes the Pirates pay. 11-10 Cubs.
His seventh RBI for the nine-hitter. The Pirates were up 10-3. They rested Paul Skeens. They pulled him after 82 pitches, up seven runs. I get all of that. Bullpen gave it away. Offense wasn't able to tack on after the 10 runs scored early in the game. And the Pirates with a historic loss. How historic? Donnie's going to tell you right now in his debrief brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington.
This hasn't happened in 50 years.
Jeez, dude.
I wasn't even alive 50 years ago.
First time they have lost when leading by seven after six innings since 1974. And apparently only the seventh time it has happened since 1901.
Wait, give me that last one again.
The seventh time since 1901.
To the Pirates or in all of baseball? To the Pirates, right?
Yes.
Who had that stat?
Little Joe Smeltzer sent me that.
He just pulled that out of the abyss. Wow.
Why would you guys like me to do a quick deep dive on Baseball Reference and tell you how many times when did they lead 10-3? How late into the game were they up 10-3?
It was the seventh inning.
Yep.
Seventh inning. Okay. I will try to find how many games the team has lost in its history when leading by at least seven runs in the seventh inning. I will try to dig that up for you boys.
Thank you. Because we're just masochists here and we just want
more. I think you are a masochist who has a great nose for history.
Noah Hyles, Pirates beat man, said this is the most upset he's ever seen or heard Derek Shelton after a game. We'll turn around those comments momentarily. He should be pissed off. He really shouldn't be the manager anymore, in my opinion.
David Bednar shouldn't pitch a meaningful inning for this game for this team anymore.
Another fair point.
I'm very ready for David Bednar to not be a Pittsburgh Pirate, which sucks to say about somebody from here. He has been atrocious. There is no putting any kind of lipstick on it.
412-928-9370. Here is Jim on the Fan. Hello, Jim.
Thanks for taking my call. Malzy, I don't know how the hell you say it's not Shelton's fault.
It is his fault.
He stinks. Out there.
He stinks.
Okay. You said it earlier. I'm sorry. Then I maybe misheard you.
The problem is you have to pick a guy in this show. There's three of us talking right now. I can't just say, yes, Shelton's also terrible. I have to find somebody else. They all stink, man.
I don't know how you could send someone out that has been this bad over and over again.
Who else is he going to send out, though, to be fair? Beeks?
Did you see what Beeks did? We know the ending with Bednar. We all love him, but we know the ending this year.
Do we all love him anymore? Because when you pitch this badly, the love starts to dissipate. And really, what you're asking here, Jim, is for them to have sent out the lefty who was throwing batting practice and not the righty who was throwing batting practice.
True.
I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm just very frustrated. I'm going to kick my cat Najee pretty hard tonight. So, I appreciate the call.
I'm not a cat person, but let's not
kick your cat.
Let's not condone animal violence. Jeez, Jim.
Your cat should be your buddy here while you maybe crack a brewski or whatever.
Cats are mean. You do that to a cat, you never know what they're going to do back.
It's going
to
plot against you.
Right. Look, Shelton's had a horrible, horrible last couple of months. He had nothing on his resume before coming here to suggest that he was going to be a good manager because he had really never done it before. So I think overall, he's on my crap list. But as far as today's concerned, I don't blame this loss. I'll put Jim, if Jim wants to call back and argue with me, he can. This loss, I look more at the guy who made the watch than the guy that's wearing the watch. You assembled this bullpen, and all of these bullpen arms went out there and sucked. Okay, pull this guy out, put that guy in instead. Well, that guy blew ass too. There was no good option today. All of these perceived bullpen arms that were supposed to be part of this new Shark Tank, this great relief corps that the Pirates had assembled this year, negative. It's one of the worst in baseball. And this is one of the few areas where Pirates spending, I would actually think that you look at their bullpen spending and it's average or maybe even in the upper half of baseball. And they've gotten putrid results. Here's Brendan in Monaca. Hello, Brendan.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey, man.
And I just want to say, I wish I could say I can't believe what I just watched, but I can believe it because this team
Pirates.
Is the laughing stock of the MLB. I'm not sure how Derek Shelton has a job tomorrow morning, and I'm not sure how David Bednar would be a Pirate next season. I know he's Mr. IC Light, the Yinzer, Renegade, but I could care less. I want wins. I want success, not what I've been seeing my whole entire life. I'm 22 years old, and I can't tell you one time I've seen winning that I can remember. So,
all right. Well, you had 13, 14, and 50, and that happened in your lifetime. But then again, you would have been you're 22. You would have been like 11, 12, 13 years old. I would think you'd remember that. Those are pretty impressionable times to be a fan. But not to, I don't want to focus on that. I'm not in favor of just like making David Bednar the sacrificial lamb and the scapegoat on this season and getting rid of him after this year. He should just be put in another role until he can prove that he can do this job again. And I do think it's fair to criticize the Pirates for when he was at the peak value and they were still in rebuilding mode, not trading him. And I think a big reason why they didn't trade him is because they looked at him as a guy that helped bring people to the ballpark because he's from here. And I think
that second reason is just not a good enough reason.
I just think there are times where the business of baseball and the baseball operations do not always see eye to eye on things. And that would be my opinion that this would be one of the few rare times where that would happen. Why, if we're 50-50 on trading him, why trade him when we might alienate our fans in the process? I know another. I mean, they traded Andrew McCutchen, so it's not like they always acquiesce to the wishes of the fans. But McCutchen was expensive and was coming up at the end of his contract. Bednar was cheap and had years of control left. So I think that's a big difference. Matt Monongahela is on the fan. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Pony. How's it going?
Hey, brother.
So, hey, what do you think? I mean, how do you think Paul Skenes is taking all this in right now? I mean,
the second person to ask that question in 10 minutes. And if he's hyper-competitive, he's got to, I think, look around and say, man, like, is it ever going to work here? I won a national championship at LSU. I left Air Force because I wanted to win so badly. I loved Air Force. I went there my whole life. I wanted to go there, but I prioritized winning and trying to get to the major leagues. So I can't imagine he's having a lot of fun right now. And I think if I suffered losses like this, I would be questioning the meaning of life.
All right, I got something for you both here. Just guess the number. Now, the Cubs obviously scored two runs in the seventh, okay, to make it 10-5. So the game through six innings was a seven-run game.
Mm-hmm.
How many times in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates, 1901 to present day, do you think that the Pirates have been up by at least seven through six innings and gone on to lose the baseball game? Both of you can guess. I have the answer.
Give me the starting date again.
1901.
I'm going to say
through present day.
I'm going to say 11 times.
Donnie?
I'll go 8.
Twice. It has happened two times. The Pirates were up through six innings They were up 8-1 on the New York Giants in 1947 and gave up 12 runs in the last two innings to lose 13-10. They were up, let me see here, let me get the number right. They were up 9-0 through 5 and 9-2 after 6 over the Phillies in 1961 at Forbes Field, gave up 10 runs in the 8th and 9th innings to lose 12-11. This has only happened twice in the team's
history. So Smeltzer's stats were wrong. Smeltzer said 1974. What the hell's he talking about?
What was his actual stat?
He just said it's the first time that this has happened since 1974.
But what has happened? I don't understand the what here. I put in
first time they blew a 7-run
lead. First time they've lost when leading by 7 after 6.
Well, Malzi's saying that's wrong. Right? You're saying 1960.
I'm seeing it on Baseball Reference. I put it in very specifically. Twice it has happened. Margin of 7 or greater in their favor in a game they went on to lose after 6 innings. Through the 6th inning.
Well, we've got not a source off, we've got a stat off.
And Smeltzer is going to be heated at me because I know Joe does not, America's sweetheart does not like to get out Smeltz.
412-928-9370. Here's Anthony in Oakland. Hello, Anthony.
You know, I remember that game in 74. It was in San Diego, and they blew I think it was 8-1 lead in the 7th or 8th inning and lost that game.
Oh, they didn't come back to win. I thought they might have.
No, they lost that game. I remember that. I was a young whippersnapper.
So there you go. So Anthony is now siding with Smeltzer.
I was 19.
Okay.
Look, Sheldon should be fired today, replaced by that Kelly person, because this is this to me is a disaster of monumental proportion.
Yep.
They turned the Chicago Cubs into the 1927 Yankees in this three-game series.
With their best pitchers on the mound, with Keller, Jones, and Skeens, Anthony.
Right, but there is no leadership here. The only thing they've ever seen here since this manager and this owner's been here is losing. It's it.
Well, I win, by the way, the source off, technically.
Why is that?
Because mine was through 6. Smeltzer's was a different kind of breed here.
What was the different breed?
Smeltzer, they were up 7-0 through 7, but I only set my parameters at through 6th innings.
Oh.
No, he said 6.
Oh, they were only up 5-0 through 6 in that particular situation. That's the point.
In the San Diego game?
That is, yes. They were up 5-0 through 6 after 7. So Smeltzer, we're both right, actually.
So the
point is that it's very bad and it rarely happens.
Can you just one more time give me the year when it last happened? 1964, did you say, or 1966?
The last time through 6 innings they were up by at least 7 and lost was 1961.
Man.
The last time, now, in Smeltzer's defense, they were up 7-0 through 7 in that game. It just happened in the 7th inning that they got their next two. And then they, in equally horrifying fashion, they gave up 9 runs in the last two. Furthermore, in Smeltzer's game, they actually tacked on an 8th run in the 8th inning and then gave up 9 runs.
Unbelievable.
Nine runs.
This friggin' team.
This franchise, man. I have grown up my whole life desperately wanting them to not just be good, but to be great. And even you can't even enjoy something like today where Skeens goes out, pitch is fine. The Cubs are making stupid plays in the 8th inning, like
Reynolds
failing
is hitting
to call timeout.
You've got
Cruz is throwing
cool
laser
things.
Beams from yep. center field, getting a couple of hits. The Cubs are doing all the stupid garbage that I hate when the Pirates do, and it still doesn't work. Can't have anything nice, ever.
And I thought the low point was the Will Craig play against the Cubs at PNC Park. Hold my beer. Here
I
want to
know if
David
Bednar is still the closer. I hope Derek Shelton got asked point blank if he was still the closer after this. I really want to know.
He probably would have jumped over the podium there and like choked Alex Stump for asking that question.
I want to know, though, because I saw somebody tweet me and said Bednar's still the closer, and I'm hoping that's just a joke and a
probably.
Sarcastic remark.